Welcome to Zichur Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos Daf Mem Dalet. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah introduces a machlokas regarding the muktzah status of a lamp. The Tanakhama holds one may move a new lamp, but not an old lamp, because he holds a muktzah machmas mius. An item becomes muktzah due to becoming repugnant, and a used clay lamp becomes repugnant after use. Rav Shimon holds one may move all lamps except for a lamp that is actually burning on Shabbos. He doesn't hold a muktzah machmas mius. The Gemara later on will clarify that he prohibits moving a lit lamp because the wick and the oil become a base of the flame, which is muktzah. Number two, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that if someone verbally designated a bed for the storage of money and then placed money on it, even during the week, it is subsequently forbidden to move on Shabbos, even if the money was removed before Shabbos. If he had never used it for money, then it would be permitted to use on Shabbos. The designation alone would not make the bed muktzah. And point number three, a Mishnah was brought from Kalim that teaches that in a case where a wooden coach has a removable wheel, the coach and wheel are considered two separate items. Therefore, if the coach becomes tameh, the wheel does not automatically become tameh with it. Secondly, the wheel is not measured with the coach to determine if the coach has a liquid volume of 40 saw or greater. An object 40 saw or greater is considered too large to be portable and therefore does not contract tuma. Next, in a case where the coach is large and serves as a barrier between a corpse and its contents, the wheel itself does not serve as a barrier and it becomes tameh. And finally, if money was on the wheel on Shabbos, the coach cannot be dragged since the wheel becomes a bus, is ladava aser, a base for a forbidden object. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah introduces the Malchus regarding the muktzah status of a lamp. The Tanakhama holds, one may move a new lamp, but not an old lamp, because he holds of muktzah machmas mius. An item becomes muktzah due to becoming repugnant, and a used clay lamp becomes repugnant after use. Rav Shimon holds one may move all lamps except for a lamp that is actually burning on Shabbos. He doesn't hold a muktzah machmas mius. The Gemara later on will clarify that he prohibits moving a lit lamp because the wick and oil become a base of the flame, which is muktzah. Number two, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that if someone verbally designated a bed for the storage of money and then placed money on it, even during the week, it is subsequently forbidden to move on Shabbos, even if the money was removed before Shabbos. If he had never used it for money, then it would be permitted to use on Shabbos. The designation alone would not make the bed muktzah. And finally, a Mishnah was brought from Kalim that teaches that in a case where a wooden coach has a removable wheel, the coach and wheel are considered two separate items. Therefore, if the coach becomes tameh, the wheel doesn't automatically become tameh with it. The wheel is also not measured with the coach to determine if it has the liquid volume of 40 saw or greater. An object 40 saw or greater is considered too large to be portable and therefore does not contract tuma. In a case where the coach is large and serves as a barrier between a corpse and its contents, the wheel itself does not serve as a barrier and it becomes tameh. And finally, if money was on the wheel on Shabbos, the coach cannot be dragged since the wheel becomes a bus, is ladava aser, a base for a forbidden object. All right, so now we go to our simon. So the simon for Mem Dalet is mud. Mud. So here goes. Old repugnant lamps were strewn in the mud, along with cash in a bed that had been designated to store money, contents which had fallen out of a coach that had a removable wheel. Once again, in slow motion. Old repugnant lamps were strewn in the mud. Mud, that means we're on Daf Mem Dalet. So old repugnant lamps are strewn in the mud, which reminds us that the next Mishnah introduces Malchokas regarding the muktzah status of a lamp. The Tanakhama holds one may move a new lamp, but not an old lamp, because he holds a muktzah machmas mius. An item becomes muktzah due to its becoming repugnant, and a used clay lamp becomes repugnant after use. Rabbi Shimon says one may move all lamps except for a lamp that is actually burning on Shabbos. He doesn't hold a muktzah machmas mius. The Gemara later on will clarify that he prohibits moving a lit lamp because the wick and the oil become a base to the flame, which is muktzah. So old repugnant lamps were strewn in the mud, along with cash in a bed that had been designated to store money, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that if someone verbally designated a bed for the storage of money and then placed money on it, even during the week, it is subsequently forbidden to move on Shabbos, even if the money was removed before Shabbos. If he never used it for money, then it would be permitted to use on Shabbos. The designation alone would not make the bed muktzah. So old repugnant lamps were strewn in the mud along with cash in a bed that had been designated to store money, contents which had fallen out of a coach that had a removable wheel. Which reminds us, a Mishnah was brought from Kalim that teaches that in a case where a wooden coach has a removable wheel, the coach and wheel are considered two separate items. Therefore, if the coach becomes tameh, the wheel does not automatically become tameh with it. Secondly, the wheel is not measured with the coach to determine if the coach has a liquid volume of 40 saw or greater. An object 40 saw or greater is considered too large to be portable and therefore does not contract tuma. In a case where the coach is large and serves as a barrier between a corpse and its contents, the wheel itself does not serve as a barrier and it becomes tamei. And finally, if money was on the wheel on Shabbos, the coach cannot be dragged since the wheel becomes a basis l'dava aser, a base for a forbidden object. So once again, old repugnant lamps were strewn in the mud, along with cash and a bed that had been designated to store money, contents which had fallen out of a coach that had a removable wheel. All right, so now it's time for our four Brat Ba'al Chazor, which we haven't done in some time. So here goes. Daf Mem. So the Siman Daf Mem is a swimming pool. So the community swimming pool, that reminds us we're on Daf Mem. The community swimming pool where people like to wash themselves one limb at a time, which reminds us, there's a Malchus between Rav and Shmuel regarding the prohibition of bathing the entire body on Shabbos from water that was heated Erev Shabbos. Rav holds L'macha Rochus Behen Kol Gufo Eva. On the following day, meaning Shabbos, one can wash his entire body with the water, in the water, one limb at a time. Rav taught that Rav held that one may bathe his entire body, but must leave one limb unwashed. Shmuel holds L'hitil L'irchotz El Panav Yadav V'Raglav. They permitted washing only one's face, hands, and feet. And Rav's opinion was eventually refuted. So the community swimming pool, where people like to wash themselves one limb at a time, was run by the local bath attendants who gave up trying to trick the rabbis, which reminds us, it was said in the name of Bar Kappara that originally people would bathe on Shabbos in hot water that was heated before Shabbos. But then the bath attendants, the Balanim, began heating the baths on Shabbos, claiming that they were heated before Shabbos. The rabbis then forbade bathing in hot water on Shabbos, but they still allowed steam bathing. People violated the Rabban's decree and still bathed in the bathhouses on Shabbos in water heated before the Shabbos, claiming they were merely steam bathing. So the rabbis then forbid steam bathing on Shabbos, but allowed bathing in the Tiberian hot springs, the Chamei Tiberia. People would still bathe in water that was heated before Shabbos, claiming they were bathing in hot water from the Chamei Tiberia. So Rabban then forbid bathing in Chamei Tiberia and allowed only bathing in cold water. When the Rabban saw that people were unable to abide by the ruling forbidding bathing in waters heated from the Chamei Tiberia, they once again allowed that, but kept the injunction against steam bathing in place. So the community swimming pool, where people like to wash themselves one limb at a time, was run by the local bath attendants who gave up trying to trick the rabbis and who kept the temperature below Yad Soledad's bow. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that with regards to oil and water, it is prohibited to heat them up on Shabbos to the degree of Yad Soledad's bow, where the hand recoils from it. Rachva said that Yad Soledad's bow is defined by anything so hot, Shekresu Sheltinok Nikves, that an infant's tender belly would be scalded by it. Daf Mem Aleph. So the Siman Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma was so proud. Grandma, that reminds us, we're on Daf Mem Aleph. The grandma was so proud of the bathing suit she bought for the grandkids, but she wouldn't let them go down to the river, which reminds us. It was said in the name of Rav that anyone who places his hand over his lower parts, his private parts, is considered ki ilu kofar b'vrisu shel Avram Avinu. It's considered as if he had denied the bris of Avram Avinu since he appears ashamed of the circumcision. The Rabban from Avashi's academy would stand straight when going down to the river, but would bend over when coming up since they'd be facing the public. So the grandma was so proud of the bathing suit she bought for the grandkids, but she wouldn't let them go down to the river until they walked Dalet Amos after the meal, which reminds us of Brisa lists a number of bad eating habits and their harmful effects. Included in the list are, if one ate and did not drink, his eating is tantamount to shedding his own blood, and this is the beginning of stomach ailments. And also, if one ate and didn't walk Dalet Amos, 4 Amos afterwards, his food rots inside of him, and this is the beginning of bad breath. So the grandma was so proud of the bathing suit she bought for the grandkids, but she wouldn't let them go down to the river until they walked Dalet Amos after their meal, and she had time to clear the kettle. Which reminds us, the Mishnah say that one may not put cold water in a kettle that was cleared in order that it be heated, but may put cold water into the kettle or into a cup of hot water so as to warm it. Rav Adar Bar Masna said the Mishnah is referring to a kettle which was cleared of its water. Putting a small quantity of water in it is prohibited because it still will heat the water. Pouring in a larger quantity of cold water to warm the water is permitted. He's not concerned that pouring a large quantity of water into the empty kettle will harden the steel of the kettle, which would violate the malacha of Makah B'Patish, striking the final hammer blow, because he says the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that davar she'eino miskaven is mutter, something that is unintended is permitted. Abai says the Mishnah is referring to a kettle that was cleared from the fire, but still has water in it. Pouring a small quantity of cold water into it is prohibited, since it will heat the water, whereas pouring a large quantity of cold water is permitted, so it will only warm it. He says that this implies that it would be prohibited to pour a large quantity of cold water into a kettle cleared of its water, since it will cause a hardening of the steel. And the Mishnah reflects the view of Rav Yehuda that says, Davar she'eino miskaven, aser. Daf Mem Beis. So the Sifra Mem Beis are mobsters, like the mob. So here goes. The mobsters, reminding us, we're on Daf Mem Beis. The mobsters like to throw burning metal into rishus of rabbim to scare the public, which reminds us, Shmuel said that one may extinguish a piece of burning metal that's in rishus of rabbim so the public will not be harmed by it, but may not extinguish a piece of burning wood. Rashi explains that the malacha of mechaba, extinguishing a fire, does not apply to metal, since it merely glows. Although extinguishing metal was forbidden by the Rabbanan, they did not extend their decree in a case of potential damage to the public. Extinguishing wood is the malacha mechaba, and therefore it is prohibited in such a case. So the mobsters like to throw burning metal into rishus of rabbim to scare the public, and then eat their freshly spiced hot food behind the trash, which reminds us the Mishnah states that one is not allowed to place spices in a frying pan or boiling pot that were just removed from the flame, but one may add them to hot food in a bowl or in a tureen where the food has been transferred. Rashi explains that the bowl or tureen are a klisheni, a secondary vessel, and a klisheni enum avashel. A secondary vessel is not capable of cooking. So the mobsters like to throw burning metal into rishus of rabbim to scare the public, and then eat their freshly spiced hot food behind the trash, covering the eggs that were commonly laid. Which reminds us, Rav Chisda said, that although one may not place a vessel under a hen to receive her egg and prevent it from rolling off an incline, one may turn over a vessel and cover a newly laid egg so it should not break. Rav explained Rav Chisda's reasoning, saying that the rabbis allowed moving non-muksa items for the sake of a muksa item to prevent commonplace losses, but not for uncommon losses. So since a hen is likely to lay its egg in a trash heap, Rav Chisda permits a vessel to be overturned to protect the egg from being crushed. He did not permit placing a vessel under the hen to prevent the egg from rolling off an incline, since that is an uncommon situation. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simfer Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The farmer uses Weiss magazines. Magazines, that means we're on Daf Mem Gimel. So the farmer uses Weiss magazines to make paper bowls to catch newly laid eggs, which reminds us, on Daf Mem Beis, Rav explained Rav Chisda's ruling forbidding placing a vessel under the hen to catch his egg was due to the fact that it was an uncommon loss. Moving a non-muksa item for a muksa item is therefore prohibited. Rav Yosef provides an alternative understanding of Rav Chisda's ruling. He said, the reason Rav Chisda forbid placing a vessel under the hen to catch his egg is mishum to kamavat to koy mehechano. By doing so, one is nullifying the preparedness of the vessel, since it will become prohibited to move it once the muksa eggs fall into it. So the farmer who uses Weiss magazines to make paper bowls to catch newly laid eggs, and little bridges for his birds at Bein Hashmashos, which reminds us, Rabbi Abba explains the reason why a braisa prohibits moving a basket that was inverted in front of young birds so that they can climb up and down on it, even when after the birds have climbed off of it, is due to the fact that the birds were on the basket throughout Bein Hashmashos. And migu diksa sailo Bein Hashmashos iska sailo chulayoma. Since it was muksa during Bein Hashmashos, it's muksa for the entire day. The basket is considered to have become a base to the muksa birds. So the farmer who uses Weiss magazines to make paper bowls to catch newly laid eggs and little bridges for his birds at Bein Hashmashos was called out to help to move a corpse lying in a bed in the sun on Shabbos, which reminds us there's a machlokes regarding how one can move a corpse lying on a bed in the sun into the shade. It was said in the name of Shmuel that one should roll the corpse from bed to bed until it reaches the shade. It was said in the name of Rav that one should place a loaf of bread or an infant on the corpse in order to move the corpse. The Gemara clarifies that where bread or an infant are available, Rav and Shmuel agree it's permitted to move the corpse by placing the bread or infant upon them. Where they disagree is where there is no bread or infant available. Rav holds tiltal minitzad shmei tiltal. Moving something directly, indirectly, is deemed moving, and therefore rolling the corpse from bed to bed is prohibited. Shmuel holds tiltal minitzad lo shmei tiltal. Moving something indirectly is not deemed moving, and therefore rolling the corpse from bed to bed is permitted. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here goes. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that one can extinguish burning metal in a public place? That's on daf Mem Beis. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn the background behind various bathing decrees in hot water? That's on daf Mem. Good. Number 3. Where do we learn that one reason given why one can't place a kli under an egg is because one is mevatal kli mehechano? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Great. Number 4. Where do we learn the halacha always follows the machria, the mediator? That's on daf Lamates. Good. Number 5. Where do we learn that one can put spices in a kli sheni because a kli sheni ain't a mevashel, does not cook? That's on daf Mem Beis. Good. Number 6. Where do we learn the conditions for chazara? That's on daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 7. Where do we have the machlokas of tiltal minatzad regarding moving a corpse out of a sun into the shade? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 8. Where do we have the din of akira that flares up after ketuma? That's on daf Lamed Zayin. Good, number 9. Where do we learn about bad eating habits and their harmful effects, such as not walking Dalad Amos after eating? That's on Daf Mem. Great, number 10. Where do we learn the problem of cooking an egg in hot sand? That's on Daf Lamates. Great, now we go to the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which daf do we learn that one should not call Avraham Avram? That's on Daf Yid Gimel. Good. Number 2. Where do we learn Ein Osim Mitzvahs Chavilos? Chavilos. One should not bundle up mitzvahs like putting 2 different topics in the same bracha. That's on Daf Mem Tes. Good. And number 3. Where do we have the Malkokas regarding which is greater, the one who says the bracha or the one who says Amen? That's on Daf Nun Gimel. Great. That concludes our pop quiz plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.